To Bookworms, welcome to episode 142 of the Cantina Book Club podcast, where readers can find interviews with authors of all genres. I'm Megan, self-proclaimed Cantina Queen, here to bring you insights from the authors themselves. Each week features a Cantina conversation with an author. Sometimes they're returning guests, and sometimes it's someone new. Please be sure to hit that subscribe button so that you never miss out on an episode, and feel free to browse through existing episodes so that you could catch a previous interview about a book that you finished. Today's episode features a chat with returning guests, Rayanne Thane. We're talking about her book, The Rainy Day Bookshop. That book is available now. I always love catching up with Rayanne. It's such a lovely conversation with her, and I do really adore her work. So it's always fun to catch up with her. And I was really excited to ask her more fun questions since I've covered her background before. Some spoilers do pop up in these conversations, but the episode is more enjoyable if you've read the book anyway. So if you don't know why I am giggling about a certain MMC and her story and why we both, Rayanne and I, love him so much, hit pause, add this episode to your playlist, and go pick up a copy of The Rainy Day Bookshop. This interview will be ready when you are. Just a heads up that I often use adult language to express my feelings towards the authors and their work, whether the characters need to get their shit together or I'm saying what the fuck to the author for making me feel things. Just please be mindful of listening ears. Books coming out this week, June 8th, Party of a Lifetime by Henry Corrigan. He is going to be a future guest on the show, and his interview is coming out really soon. June 9th, 20-something Else by Stephanie Mack, and A Botanist's Guide to Tradition and Treachery by Kate Kavari. Both of their interviews with these ladies are coming up as well. So I'm really excited. June is going to be like super packed, and you've just got a plethora of summer reads available. And without further ado, get ready, grab your favorite drink. Here is Rayanne. Today, we are welcoming back Rayanne Thane. We're talking about her book, The Rainy Day Bookshop, that comes out on June 2nd. Rayanne, thank you so much for joining me again. I'm always looking forward to talk to you. This is like what I think chat number three that we've had. Yeah. Oh, thank you. I'm going to say, like, soon enough, you'll get a jacket. I don't know. Like,
Five Timers Club.
Yeah, pretty much, right? And I just finished this book. It's fresh in my brain. And I will say this, after the past few books that I've been reading, both for just reviewing and for pleasure and for interviewing, they were okay. But I was missing that spark, and I was so excited to get to your work, and you did not disappoint. It was everything I expected from you, and we'll get into it.
Thank you. I'm happy to know that you enjoyed it.
Absolutely. I got my faith in you. I have a certain level. The bar is set high. I'm sorry, but absolutely. Okay. So to get started, can you share a summary of the book so that we can follow along with the conversation?
Sure. So this is a book about a woman who's kind of sandwich generation, like so many of us are. So she's taking care of her mother, who's been injured recently. Her mother's somewhat older. I wouldn't say elderly, but she's older. And then she also has a strained relationship with her daughter because of some things that have happened in the past. And so when her mother gets injured, she begs her daughter to come back to their little Oregon town to take care of her bookstore for Rosie. That's the kind of the main female character. And her daughter has a daughter as well. So it's four generations living in the same house, dealing with each other. And of course, there are some romantic elements. And I have two romances in this book that I weave together.
I love it. I love it. You do romance. I would say it's like a bell pepper, like not even like any really chili peppers. You do the bell pepper spicy level really well. Like, I think that just with so much romance, like romance, obviously, like just is such a driver of the industry. And we all, I don't care who you are, we all like eat that shit up. We all want like the yearning, the pining. And then it's for those of us who prefer that, like we've talked about this before, those of us who prefer that on page intimacy versus like, oh, they're not getting there yet. Or it's like fade to black or closed door. You're like the women's fiction / romance tiptoeing author that I know what I'm getting because I loved your books before. And I'm like, I ate that shit up with the pining, with the like internal thoughts, the internal monologue of the characters interacting with each other and they're fighting their urges. And I loved it. And even when they do finally the language and the scene that you set, the feelings that you set, it's just like, ugh, like I scratch that itch. It scratched that itch. Yeah.
Well, and it's a hard choice sometimes when you're writing a book to say, how do I keep this the way I want to write it, which is I like to focus on the emotional connection between the people. Obviously, there's a physical connection as well, but I like to bring out the emotional part of that journey. Other authors do this physical part so much better than I feel like I do. So let them have their
I
skill
mean, I think if you wanted to play around, you could go, you do it very well. You how to write like where the hands and the mouths and the feelings and the igniting internal like urges go. Like I could tell
Yeah.
that you have experience doing
Well,
that.
and it hasn't always, my voice has not always been what it is now. My first probably 30 books were on page intimacy for the story. And so I have written that. I know how to write it. I've done it before. It's just not, I just felt like I was not super great at it and wasn't writing it as well as other people do. So I've decided to focus on what I feel like are my strengths, which is the emotion, the cozy feeling, the relaxing in feeling. That's where I
I
want
love
it.
how you're like, I don't know, the first 30 books, I was just kind
Well, I've been around forever. In fact, I should say that June marks the anniversary of my 30 years that my first book came out 30
That's
years ago in June.
amazing. That's huge. I think there's like a small group of authors who could say that. I mean, like that's awesome. Like, and you're still trucking. You're still doing it. You're still whipping out these books that are just like that still connect with readers, that still touch upon that still feed us like whatever we're into. 'Cause I think like if we're speaking about the boom of smut, the boom of on screen, whatever we call it, smut, but like there's on screen intimacy and then there's like straight up erotica where it's like, oh no, this is what this is going to be. And it doesn't pretend to be anything else. But there's like sports romance and contemporary, and there's like, oh, just a heads up, there's going to be on scene. That's what I feel like on page. Like if there could be a rating, like there's a TV and film rating, I feel like there should be a book rating. Like some, it would be really helpful because I've read reviews of other people's books where it's like, oh my God. And it's like, just don't read it. You don't have to complain about something. If you could put the book down, and it's like, it is.
Not your jam, just put it down. But there's people that's what I do love that about romance is that whatever you're into, whatever level you like, whatever floats your boat, you can find that book out there
Exactly.
and then you'll find more in that
Yeah,
book.
like the
Finally.
algorithm will find you. So kind of want to like explore like from you and your growth as an author and kind of you playing around with your comfort level or really your confidence level, I should say. You're comfortable with going there, but your confidence of being like, I'm gonna stick to what I know that I'm gonna be a rock star at. So seeing the kind of landscape as it is today of the booming romance industry and where it's gone in various levels of said intimacy. Have your thoughts changed? Like, have you thought about maybe like, returning to on page good times?
Not really, because that's not the story that I want to tell anymore. It's just not. And I feel like this is what my readers come to me for is a cozy read that they can settle into. If they're uncomfortable with that, they don't have to worry about it. If they want that, there's a little tinge there where they can still get the feels and still get the tingle in your stomach. I try to bring that as well. I do think that there's a wide spectrum of readers out there, and it almost feels like they're
Absolutely.
becoming more polarized as time goes on, that they want the really sexy or the really nothing. It's hard to, I feel like my books are not really nothing because there's love scenes in there, not quite going all the way, but I just feel like there's enough for everybody out there. There are readers who want what I write, and I'm going to keep giving them the kind of story that I like to tell. And that's about community. It's not just the romance in mine. It's about the community. It's about people some getting over their the difficulties that they've had in their past in order to find a happy ending. And I feel like that's a message we need so much right now about taking care of each other and
Yeah.
not being able to help our neighbors and love our neighbors no matter what. And I just feel like that's the message I want to bring out. And I think there's nothing wrong with that at this
No,
point. Maybe
there's not. Yeah.
not. It's hitting it on TikTok right now. I think point, some of the people that are really driving that TikTok will start thinking about deeper issues at some point in their life and want other kind of stories too.
Yeah, I love everything that you said, and it's you. if you're considering your readers and you're considering your readership, I love that you're like, no, there's plenty out there. And if I want to tap into that, I guess you're protecting yourself and you're just sticking with what gets you going. Like, because I feel like if you weren't really into it, readers would be able to tell, you know what I mean? Like if you were trying too hard, readers would be able to tell, because I could tell, like, and I recognize your writing and I recognize the moments, the leading up to it. I was like, yes. I remember like in my notes, I was like, yes, they finally kissed. And I was like, oh no, of course they're going back to like self-doubt and all this shit. I was like, boo. Like,
it's can't like, be that easy. I can't make it that easy. Work for it.
They have to fight. Yeah, there has to be something where they fight. Like, why can't they be together for this and this? They have to like fight that urge, and then they can't. Like, I love it.
Yeah, it's not that I couldn't. I think I still could write that, although maybe not like as sexy as some of the people that are writing out right now. That's not the world that I live in. But I just feel like there's room for all of us, and I've got plenty of readers who love sexy but are okay with the level in my
books. Well, you did. Like, I loved like just like the internal monologues of your points of view, where it's like all four of them, Rosie, Emma, Bryce, and Andrew, they're all like, I don't know why I feel this way towards them, or like, yes, they're sexy, yes, they're lean and muscular and very handsome. And then they got Sylvia. We could talk about Sylvia. I want to be her when I grow up. But she's like, you can do a lot worse. It was like, yes, I love it. I love all of that. Like the four generations of women. I love the fact that Sylvia, what, broke her ankle rollerblading?
Yeah, she's in her 70s. She didn't let that stop her. And she broke her ankle. Yeah. And
so, I love that.
So I wanted to write, like I said, the sandwich generation, but I didn't want it to be like some of the issues that a lot of us have had to deal with our parents. Yeah. I wanted to, she can heal from and go back to her spunky dating app self.
Yeah, you know? I know. And that was a note I wrote, like, Sylvie's on dating apps, LOL. That's hilarious. That's what I love about your writing too, where it's like, I can always rely on you to sprinkle in some humor in there. I love it. Cause I feel like that's just what you need. I feel like it's hard. Like if I were ever to write like any sort of comedic anything, I'd be so self-conscious, like, oh, did it land? But you find a way to make me kind of cackle. Like,
I always figure if it makes me laugh or smile, hopefully it will make my readers laugh or smile. But I have friends that romantic comedy is their thing, and it seems so very hard to focus on that part of it and bring that into every scene that you write with these characters. I just don't know how they do it, because I try to, I like the emotions. I like the angst.
Like laughter, joy, like comedy could be considered like a sub emotion or like an emotion all up in itself, but it's tricky to like add that to dialogue and lead up to it to really like, I remember one of my favorite parts was when Andrew was accidentally, unintentionally overhearing Rosie and Emma, like Rosie talking shit about his book. And he was like trying to like make himself smaller. And he was like, okay, I'm just gonna like duck and pretend I'm looking at this row of books. And he found himself looking at a like menopause.
And that is like my worst nightmare, to be in a situation where people are dissing me. And
oh,
my books.
So you had a throw it at poor Andrew.
So for maybe readers who haven't read it or followers who haven't read it, is that Andrew is a fantasy author and he's very popular. He's had like a movie made out of his books that's been hugely popular. It's another one in the works. So it's basically the new kind of, I was thinking Star Wars, that kind of a story, and everybody's into it and loves it. But Rosie does not like it. So she owns this bookstore that her daughter is running, and she and her daughter are talking about him moving to town because they know he's moving to town. And Rosie kind of disses his books and said that he doesn't know anything about women and she doesn't like his characters and all these things. And so I thought that was, I love the idea of an author and a person who doesn't like their books. And how do you come together at that point? Because your books are like you.
Yeah. He's trying to like comfort himself. He's like, oh, it's like, it's not going to hit with everybody. Like,
yeah. So that was a fun scene for me to write.
And
I found myself referring to it often in the book, and I had to back off because it was too often that they went back to that conversation.
Oh, I know.
gotta go. Move on.
I loved it. Well, he was like, returned to that. He was like, even if I don't seem like I've been with women. Like,
and the other part that I liked about that dynamic between them is that once she knows him and she starts listening, she listens to his books again, and she has a whole new appreciation for his writing style after she knows him.
Yeah.
And so I think there was some fun part of it there.
And I could totally relate to that, because I always like to read the books before I talk to you all, and I will have a certain opinion about it, whether I'm pissed off or like touched or like underwhelmed, and I'm like, I don't know how I feel about this. But then that's definitely true, where I do feel a certain different kind of way after speaking to you all. And so there's books where I'm like, I don't know, and then when I talk to them, I'm like, okay, that helps me see it a different way. And I'm thinking like, oh man, like not a whole lot of people have that opportunity. You know what I mean? Like, but you guys can't talk to every single person that picks up your book. So that's why I'm like, oh, I think it's great that I have this opportunity. But you're absolutely right, where it's like, that does happen, where you're like a bookstore owner, a PR agent, like anybody who's involved in the industry who might have the opportunity to change their mind based on a conversation or based on getting to know the author. So for me, it's very clear. I think you don't have to worry about me, because I'm like, when I saw your name come up in the list of releases, I was like, my girl.
That's so lovely. Yeah. Well, yeah, I think it goes back to what we said before, is that not every book is for every reader. And that's exactly what this sort of experience illustrates, that he writes fantasy. She just doesn't like fantasy.
I love that you explore that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I, as somebody who maybe doesn't write right now the books that are hot, that was really meaningful for me to write about the fact that there's depth in the stories. Maybe they're not exactly what you're looking for, but give it a chance with an open mind, and it might be something that you find joy in at some point.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. You know me, I'm going to go off on tangents if we keep going. I want to focus on your work. So again, I'm going to go into research involved. Was there anything that you were surprised to learn? How did you approach this book versus other releases? Because I know you've been planning this for a while. Wait, was this a standalone in another universe?
This is just a standalone. Okay. I've written stories on the Oregon coast before, but this one is totally standalone.
So I want to know anything, any juicy details that you found while you were learning, and anything that you were really like surprised to learn, stuff like that.
So I didn't really do a ton of research for this book, other than trying to look at pictures of bookstores and good bookstores and not good bookstores, and what makes one appealing and not appealing. I know what I like in a bookstore. So basically the setup is that Rosie has this bookstore. She's been really busy running the construction company that she and her husband started. He died and the construction company was going to go under. So she had to step in to run it so that it doesn't go under, and they have to fire all these employees. And so that's what she's been doing. So in the meantime, her bookstore's become kind of run down. And so part of the storyline is that Emma, her daughter, comes in and wants to shake things up and make it more appealing and make it more attractive. And just so happens that Bryce, who was a childhood friend of hers, who's always kind of had a thing for her, works with her mom as a contractor. And he steps in to try to help her fix up this bookstore.
Yeah.
And so I thought there was a nice symbolism there, that he's fixing the bookstore and she's trying to fix herself at the same time, and fix the kind of the things that she feels like she's made a lot of mistakes in her life, and she's taken a path that maybe she didn't expect to take at some point in her life. And so I liked that dynamic of those two people. So as far as research for them, I research construction things. We've recently renovated our house a few years ago.
Okay,
so
there you go.
And we built one a few years before that. And so I have some experience with building.
And like the frustration and the complications and all the little details. Yeah. And
renovations are always so fun. And also I did live... So there's an old house involved at play as well in the storyline. And we lived in an old house for the first 18 years of our marriage. It was an old Victorian house that we were trying to renovate, and we didn't have any money and trying to do it as we had no money. And
you
it was,
fed
it
yourself was a lot into Rosie then.
So it was fun to build, to work on the house. And then it was fun to bring sort of those elements into this story as well. So they can
I love that. Cause we could go on about home ownership. Like my husband is convinced that like in a few years, in a couple years, we're going to stay on our lot and he's got plans. He went through the budget. He's got a spreadsheet. He's got like blueprints. He's got like, okay, I gotta hire an architect. I gotta hire an interior designer. And he's like, this is my plan and we're gonna be able to afford it. And I'm like, honey, like, cause that kind of stuff is just like my brain just, I wanna, some part of me wants to care, but like, if he could handle the details, that's great. And if like, I'm like, you know what? Yes, I agree that we need more space. I agree. I want more of an open concept. And I just want like a space of my own, the library, a little, it could be like a nook. It could be like a room, a small room size nook. But yeah, going off of like all of that, it's just like you fed yourself into Rosie. I could tell just from talking to you for what be barely like 20 minutes. Like I could just hear your answers. And like all your characters are always so like likable. And like Bryce is, he was so sweet. Both him and Andrew, like, I don't know. You write all your male main characters like a little bit swoony, desirable, making it very clear like, this guy is the one that we need to pay attention to, and that the woman. And I love how it's like there's no like competition, but it's like it's very well known. The women in every your main characters' lives make it well known that like, oh right. Hey, like hey, you could do a lot worse, or oh, he's so dreamy. And I love like I love the fact like it's also like the mother daughter relationship where Emma notices like something going on there, like what. She like notices her mom blushing and she notices the smiles and yeah.
It was fun to write that part. The mothers and daughter both are the same part of the journey. And a little inside information for you is that originally when I started the book for probably the first several chapters, I didn't have Bryce's point of view. I wasn't going to do that.
I was going to say, because like one of the last couple of books I read where you were like, obviously, what's his name was pining, but the you didn't have his point of view because you were like, no, it's obvious. He doesn't need like. Yeah, but I love that you included Bryce. I love it.
I feel like he needed to be there because he had growth as well. And because I fell in love with his character and wanted to write him because he's just this earnest guy with it. He had some learning disabilities. And so he always felt like he was a dumb kid in school, whereas Emma was super, super smart. And so he tried to be funny to compensate. And now he's the one with the successful job. He's found his niche and found what he loved to do. And he's really good at it, where she's struggled and done all these different things and was homeless for a while and just all these different things. And it was kind of a role reversal for those two.
Absolutely. That's what I noticed right away too, where she was like, he still noticed those things about her. Even if she seemed like a completely different person, he was still like noticing those things about her. And she was like, okay, I'm back here and I have to confront some shit that I really do not want to confront. There's some things going on, and it's like she does her best to avoid things that eventually come to a head, but she's also like him. Bryce is part of the avoidance where she's like, no, you deserve better. And I'm not good enough for you. And he was like, you're dumb. Okay. I don't think that's really a spoiler, cause we kind of know what it's doing, or I could edit it out. But like, I loved his attitude where he was just like, you're a horrible liar. Like, because I love Bryce, and I love like how it was made very clear that, yeah, like their situations have switched. They've always noticed each other. They've always been like in each other's orbits. Maybe Bryce has held her closer than she has held him. But I loved that was just part of the journey. That was part of their relationship and how it grew and how they came together. Because I was like, Emma. It's like, Emma.
Come on.
Like,
make it, here, girl.
he's gonna make it work. He's gonna be okay with whatever you need to do. That's what I wanted to say also to Rosie and Andrew, because it seemed like Bryce, among the four of them, Bryce was the one who was like very sure, and the rest of them were kind of like, I don't know. Like, I feel like that was like such a, I could tell that you had a lot of fun with that.
And I did, and I loved it. Was really fun writing this book, just being in all those different heads, because I think this is the first time I've done four. I've done books where there's a main romance and then a secondary romance. But when I've done that, like you talked about, I've usually only focused on one of the characters in the secondary romance, just because it's not to clutter it all up with a lot of people. But
right.
I loved this. I loved every scene that I wrote and each one of them. And I just fell in love with all four of them. And so I was glad. It's basically two books in one, but then there's the other story about the mother and the daughter coming together. And so there are multiple subplots weaving together. But
I know you, I knew what I could tell. And I, again, like, I knew what to expect. Like, I knew, like, oh, okay, we're gonna get some points of view. And then it was very much like this pair in some, like, there's gonna be some pining and some self-doubt and some growth. And then there's gonna be this pair that I love how you don't shy away. So one thing that I was writing in my notes was like, you touch on the series themes, you go there enough, but like you somehow accompany it with like a warm hug. Like you touch on like serious issues that like people, like real people go through, where it's just like keeping a secret or
That's smart, yeah.
self-medicating, running away, and just like real things that people go through, but you get into it deep enough to draw the reader in to where it's like relatable. And then, but then you still hold our hand through it. Like, that's why I
I'm
could
a
put
very
it.
hopeful person, and I want to think that everybody can get through their hard stuff in life. I know that's not always the case, but I want people to know that there's a chance that they can if they just hold on, if they just keep going and plowing through. Eventually, something will change. Either their circumstance will change or their ability to deal with that circumstance will change. And so I firmly believe that from things that have happened in my own life, that you go through things and you're in a time in your life where you think this is never going to get better. This is the hardest thing anybody in the world has ever had to deal with, you know? But then you realize everybody's got hard stuff. Everybody's dealing with something difficult in their own way. And I would like writing books where people can, who might be going through something hard, can say, okay, these characters worked through this hard thing. Somehow they made it work and they had a happy ending, and maybe I can too. And so that's what I try to write.
And it is like, I think it's like you've just got that something. I feel like you've got, because I feel like so many authors try to do that same exact thing, like what you're saying. Like they want to connect to their characters, they want to relate to them, they want to write stories that people can see themselves in and maybe help cope. But like, you're one of the few, like, personally, I'm not going to speak for everybody else, but personally, you have that touch where you are really like, I'm here with you. Like, hey, come along with me. This is a story that I came up with. And if it relates to you, that's cool. I'm here to hold your hand and give you a warm hug at the end. That's why I can't say no to you. Whenever somebody you have a release date and somebody's approaching me about you, I'm like, I gotta make it work. 'Cause
You're so sweet.
I'm like, oh,
Oh,
you. I'm like, what, three books in? I'm like, you got me. You got me. So I definitely want to explore like some of the other, because we kind of touched on, let's see, like there's questions that I've asked you like so many times before, and I want to kind of shake it up. I'm always going to throw this at you. Challenging parts to write versus enjoyable parts to write.
the challenging parts to write, mainly it was Emma. Emma was the hardest one to get her to see that she needs to tell her secrets that people need. There's no way that they can, tr her mom, she and her mom can truly heal their relationship until the secret that she's been holding is out. There's just no possible way. And so that was hard for me to write that, because I felt like, just tell her in the very first scene and then you can be done. I had to have reasons why she held on to it for as long as she did. And so that was tough for me to write. But the best part for me was writing their final, when they finally get all the, clear the air between them, and everything's out, and Rosie now has this information and has to deal with it as best she can. And so that part, I really liked the resolution. It feels like to me like the writing the and it's I think it's this way with every book. Writing the first half takes forever, and then the last half is so fast because
'Cause like
finally,
you know where you want to go with it, but it's like leading
I
up to it.
know. Wait to sit down and get to that part where I know what needs to happen.
I will say I'm really, the only note I have about it is that I wish that Emma would have punched Pam in the face.
I know I wanted to so bad. I'm like, yeah, but then she'd be arrested probably. Pam's gonna
You're
file charges, you
Pam
know?
is that bitch, right? Like,
There's no possible way she would not.
yeah, I remember being like, that was like one of my last notes, and I was like, this bitch. I love it. I love it. So that's like what I love talking to you, because you're like, no, I touch on all that. Like, you touch on all the modern things of like the attitude of people, like where they would react to things and be like, oh, hell no. I'm gonna spring some new questions on you, and I'm gonna be fun about it. So amongst your four POVs, Emma, Rosie, Andrew, and Bryce, are you familiar with Hot Wings Challenge?
No, isn't it where they eat things that are
So I'm referring to Hot Ones. It's a show, but they have celebrities join and
Oh.
they interview them while they're eating. It's
Well,
10 sauces and each one gets hotter.
disgustingly hot,
So
right?
who would make it the longest? And I want you to kind of like rank them, like who would make it the furthest and who would like not make it so far. Yes,
The
yes.
hot wings challenge. I think Bryce and Emma would probably make it the furthest, and then would be Andrew, and Rosie would be the one that would be like, okay, this is not for me. And she's strong enough that she would be like, I'm out
She's
at this
secure with
point.
herself. She's like, I don't need to prove this. Like, she.
Yeah, but Bryce, he can do anything because he's like so wonderful. I loved him so much. And I know that probably comes out in the book that he just stole my heart from the very first time he showed up, you
Oh
know.
God, no wonder you had to have his point of view. I loved him too. Everything about him, he was on point. And even when he wedged himself into the relationship, he was straight up like, this is just my opinion. Please don't tell Emma.
Yeah, don't
I
tell.
love that. I like a book boyfriend territory, right? I was like, I think I wrote in my notes green flags. Like, just, oh God, he's so sweet. Even when like you went to the point of view, like, because there's something at the end of the book where Emma's like, she realizes it, like, solidifies. And she's just like, oh my God, what was I doing? Like, I need to say this and I need to be with him and I need to get to him. And I love that he was like, he didn't even care about his injuries because he was like, Emma, the look that Emma gave me that I might be gone. Like, and he was like, Emma loves me. He's like, I don't even care about my second, third degree burns. Like, he doesn't.
Yeah, because that's who he is. He's just a hero.
I love that because he was only thinking of like, oh my God, we got to keep her here. We got to keep her here. And he just looked at them with such adoration, her and her daughter. And I feel like that's such a huge thing where he's like, he looked at them as a package deal. And again, you went to the children as being like, hey, what's up? Like,
Yeah, and Olive for him kind of represents Emma, the Emma that he'd loved, and Olive was part of her. So that Olive is her daughter. She's 3 years old. She's really spunky. And then I should say Andrew also had a couple of kids, and so that was a sort of a conflict for Rosie. She's like, I'm a grandmother. I
I
don't need
know.
kids.
I love
So
that.
she's
Yeah.
a young grandma. She's only
Yeah,
45. She had her daughter
exactly.
young, and her daughter had her daughter young, and so she's only 45. But still, she's at a different stage in her life than he is, who had kids late in life. They're not that
And then it
far apart
kind of,
in
but that part of her like self-doubt, that's part of her like journey where she's just like, oh God, I'm a grandma. Like, what am I doing pining over this man? Like, pining over this sexy author. Like, what she.
who had dated the leading lady in his movie, and so
Right, like,
she felt like extremely inadequate compared to
and then
that.
here we get to his point of view, and he's just like, she's really pretty. Why am I drawn to her, even if she talks shit about my book? I love it so much. Okay, so I feel like this is a fun question to ask you. What name would you never use for a male main character or female main character?
What name would I never use? Any of my kids' names would be so hard to write. So I wouldn't use any of those, or my husband's name would be hard to write. But other than that, I think I've written 80 books, so I've used most of the names that I've ever thought of
I
and
was gonna
liked.
say, how do you keep things fresh, keep things new to yourself? Because I'm like a reader, you're like, you could have loyal readers like me, or you can have new readers. And it's like, how do you keep things fresh for yourself? Like someone who's been writing books for 30 years, crazy
Well,
woman.
it's the
No,
character. I am crazy. Sometimes I look back and I go,
you're, I mean, crazy in a
why
good way, like boss ass bitch. You're like, okay, you are in your own element. Like, you.
I feel extremely fortunate that I've been able to do this for so long. I know a lot of people that have stopped along the way and have done something else or have had discouragement and disappointment. And I've been really fortunate that I've been able to keep things going for this long in my career. And I tell people, how lucky am I that I make people happy for a living? That's my job. There's not a lot of people that
That's such
can
a
say
good way to
that.
look at it. That's such an
Yeah.
awesome way to look at it. I
And
love
that's
that.
what, when I sit down to write, that's what I think about. I think about how am I going to make somebody's day a little bit better by reading my book. What can I bring to the page? What can I, and every book I try to be better. So there's the challenge of it that keeps it fresh and exciting and interesting and hard. And then the characters are so different. It might be romances in all of them, but there are different journeys that each character has to take. And so
Yeah.
getting taking that journey is the adventure for me. The fact that I can take it in a different direction or try something new, or I don't know. That's the part that I love, is just that each character is different and it feels real to me when I'm writing their book, and their book is going to be different than the previous people because they have different issues. They have a different past. They have different things to work through. So it does. It never gets boring to me. Sometimes it's hard. Some books are harder than others.
Sure.
It's never boring. There's always something keeping me
different challenges. Yeah. Like, where something that you found was easy in one book, where you're kind of, why am I having so much trouble with this? Yeah, I get it. No, that I appreciate the struggle. I do, because it brings us the finished product, and right. I love it.
I pretty much know when I'm struggling with a book and it's not working the way I want it to. It's about the characters. I did not build their conflict and their motivation strong enough, and I need to go back and figure out, why are they doing this at this point in their life? How can I make that stronger? I always know if it's not working, it's something about how I created these characters and what I did with
it. If it's not broke, don't fix it. You've got your sample, your process where you recognize your own things and you're like, yeah, I got to get back to this. I got to go back to the drawing board on this. Yeah, absolutely. Writing a book is not easy. And so I appreciate the fact that people like you have been doing it for so long and you've had to grow with such a changing landscape. Like, it's crazy how much it's changed. And I appreciate artists like, or creators like you, who have had to adapt, like you said, to the TikTok world and to everything, who's like, oh, my stuff might not be spicy or racy, but I still got that, like, that yearning and that melting into the kiss. Like, it's like there's still so much to enjoy. You find a way to relate to the reader in a way, or at least just relate to yourself in a way, where it's like, I found a running theme in this book was people feeling guilty. Mm-hmm. Like, both Emma and Rosie feel guilty about what they're going through. Like, Emma feels guilty about what she did and what she didn't say. And Rosie feels guilty about not being there, not being the mother that she felt like she needed to be. And then it's also like, with the four of them, I loved that you pointed out, we have to stop looking at what we still have to do and just appreciate how far we've come. I feel right. like that's such a good reminder. And I feel like that's maybe one of the strongest things that I took away from your book, was just like the characters had to remind themselves of, because that's so relatable. We're all looking like, oh, what are we missing? What are we doing? Like, no, look at what you've already done. Like, that's something more, like, it touched me. I can't speak for every reader, but I feel like that's going to resonate with so many readers, where it's like, mm-hmm. we all feel some extent of this. Right.
Well, like, we all make mistakes. We all look back at our lives and think, I wish I'd done something differently. I wish I'd handled this.
Of course. Yeah.
Somebody who gets through life without that. And so in this particular case, it was a really hard situation that especially Rosie and Emma were dealing with. And they both dealt with it in different ways. And, you know, Rosie maybe wasn't a very good mom to her daughter at the time after her husband died. She wasn't there for Emma when she really needed a listening mom, because she was grieving this husband that she'd loved. They're able to work through it and get to a better place eventually. And so that is, I do feel like that's a message that people need to hear, that you can get through it. It's hard.
It really
now.
Is. It really is. I feel like, especially in this day and age with social media and where everybody's just posting their positives.
Yeah.
Nobody's posting their negatives.
And we all look at somebody else and think their life is so perfect, and it's not. Everybody's struggling in some way.
Yeah, and I guess I've just reached a point where I'm content, and it's a great feeling. I just look at things and I'm like, oh, I'm like, even if I'm like, oh God, how did they get there? Why am I not there? But then I'm like, Megan, it's okay. If I really want to get there, I will do it. But like, obviously I have a certain comfort level where, you know what I mean? Like, that's why I think a lot of your stories resonate with me. Cause like I said, you touch on these relatable and serious things, and then, but you're like, I'll give you a hug while you're going through it. I'll hold your hand. I'll hold your hand while I'm putting you through this shit. Like, what? Yeah.
Just hang on. It'll get better. It's going to be hard right now while you're reading this book at this particular point, but I promise you'll get your happy ending at the end.
Okay. I'm thinking about every character in the book. I wouldn't say every character in all your books, because that would be a lot to ask of you. characters in this book. Which character would you go to if you needed to plan a party?
Sylvia. Without question, Sylvia was a great... Rosie would be good too, because she throws a great bash in the book for the neighborhood. But Sylvia is just so fun. And that's Rosie's mom. She's just the spunky retired lady who just lives her life the way she wants to. She wears what she wants.
Brander Angle rollerblading. Like, what?
Does what she wants. She wears what she wants. She does what she wants. And
I'm 39 and I would never catch myself rollerblading. I'd be like... I love that. That's like one of, like what I said earlier, I would live to be Sylvia when I grow up. Like, although I don't think I would go rollerblading. Dating apps, that's another story. Okay, so what character would you go to if you needed to prep for a first date?
That's a good question. Probably Rosie, because I think she'd be supportive and warm and help me not be nervous about it. She's a kind person, and I think that's what I would want.
But as would she help you pick the right outfit?
Yeah, that's a good question. Probably Emma. She's got a great style. She's got her own great style. It's a little edgy. She knows what she likes and what she looks good in.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would go to Emma. Maybe both of them. Why couldn't they both help me?
The joint. Yeah. Joint with like, okay, like Rosie would take care of like the emotional and be like, don't talk about this. Don't talk about this. And Emma would be like, girl, turn around. Like, let me see what you got. Yeah. I love that. Okay. So what character would you go to if you needed to hide a body?
Bryce, probably, because he's very strong and muscular and could help.
And he's so loyal.
And he's so loyal. And he would, if he cares about you, he's going to do whatever he needs to do to
help. I love that. I love that. It's so true. He'd be like on top of everything. He would think of everything. He would. I love that. Oh my God. Bryce, our little baby boy. Okay. So something that I do wonder is like how you tap into points of view that are not like yours at all, different generation, different gender, different background, different lifestyle. So I'm going to throw this at you between the four again. How would each of them wash the dishes? Like if they came into their house, they saw a sink full of dishes, how would each of them handle it?
That's an interesting question. I think Rosie would just step in and do what needs to be done. She'd just power through. In fact, she does wash dishes in this book. So there's a scene of washing.
Oh, yeah. She'd be like, hey, Andrew.
And Andrew would just, he would probably, his mind would be working out the next plot. So he'd be fine doing it because it would be just a routine thing while he's thinking about what he's going to be writing the next time he sits down to write. Emma, I don't know how she would wash dishes. She would probably just do what needs to be done, but in some creative way.
It's okay if she walks in and she's like, I'm not doing that right now. Yeah. Like she, that's okay.
Like, I can wait. I can do that later. And Bryce is another one who would just sit down and get the job done because that's just how he is and who he is. He knows what needs to be taken care of and he has no problem doing it because it needs to be done. And he'd listen to an audiobook while he does it because he's a big audiobook reader.
I love that you were like, I can't make this man swoony without him reading books or listening to books.
Well, everybody has to love books in a different way.
Books about books. Yep. I have a special place in my heart for people who are like, oh, I don't want to read, but I want to listen. They're like enthusiastic, not about reading, but about listening. I love that part of it.
Story.
Yeah.
It's still powerful. It's still, you're still having the same emotions. You're still experiencing the beauty of the word. You know, you're just experiencing it a different way.
Absolutely. Are you, side question, are you into Dungeon Crawler, Carl?
I am not, but I'm sure intrigued because it's way up there.
It is. It's like seriously because the narrator, he's fantastic. And it's like, he does all the voices like so well where it's like so distinct, even like the same, like female voices or male voices, you could tell is distinct, like, cause it's like a lit RPG. So it's like video game literature. And so it's like new achievement and he does it in the voice. Cause he has like a whole sound, it's a sound booth. So he has a whole thing where it's like new achievement. So it sounds like a video game, but and then it goes to the characters where he's like, what the fuck? I so encourage it because if you as an author, but as a reader, it's bonkers. And it is like, it's, some parts are very inappropriate, but it's like dark humor. But I feel like it's just like, it's also such a human story where It just sneaks up on you. It sneaks up on you, or it's so addictive and it's fast paced. So I definitely recommend it, especially
Okay,
as an audiobook. Especially as an audiobook.
I'm going to put it on my list because I do love audiobooks and I'm always looking for something new.
Yeah, while you're driving
Really
or
dive
doing
in.
your chores, and you're just going to hear Carl being like, "God damn it, donut." Like, because of Donut's the cat. And then you'll see the internet and you'll be like, "Oh my God, I know what that meme is about, or I know what that art is about." So I was like, it became my personality for a hot second. And then I told my husband to read it because he's a gamer. And I was like, "No, you're gonna fucking love this series." And he did. And he finished 7 books in like 2.5 months because that's how hooked he got into it. So it was like, I'm like, okay. So now the 8th book just came out this week. So I'm like, I just started listening to it. And then, of course, we ordered the hard copy, and I told him, I was like, I started listening to it. He was like, get on it, because he's in the middle of reading Christopher Paolini's Murtalk. Because he was okay, so I'm gonna go off in a tangent. So my husband, he was so into Eragon, that series by Christopher Paolini. He was so into it that, like, he's not a reader, but that got his attention, and he kept up with the series. He was obsessed. He got me into it. And then I met Christopher Paolini at a Dragonsteel Nexus last year. And I was like, "Hey, my husband loved you and he got me into your books." And I was like, "Can you record a little message for him?" And he did. He was so awesome.
That's great.
Yeah, he had to plug his book. And so my husband was reading his book and he was like, "I don't know. Like, I think I'm at a good point to stop. Should I start reading the 8th book? And I was like, "Yeah." I'm gonna need to talk to somebody about it. You know what I mean? It's like, it's one of those things. It's so fun. It's so fun.
That's
So
so
I
fun. And there's
encourage you, and then you can reach out to me and be
okay.
like, "Megan."
Why'd you do this to me?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, again, like, I don't know how wide your taste is in terms of genres, but I feel like at least give the first book a chance.
I
Audio
will.
audiobook definitely.
It's very wide. So and I personally
Is.
love things that hit a lot of people. I like to listen to it so I can figure out why is this hitting so many people right now, and
Exactly.
what's the appeal of it, and what are they bringing to the game that, I can
Exactly.
bring
I
some element.
know. Absolutely. I love your brain. I love your mind. I love the way you look at it because that's exactly it. Again, the four characters. What three items would they bring to a desert island?
Three things. Let's see. Rosie probably would bring a book at least, or two. And she likes to feed people, so she'd bring some tool that would help her feed people, whether that's a frying pan or something like that. I could see Bryce bringing tools, because you gotta have your tools. You gotta build stuff, because that's what he does, or
Oh
at least
God, he would take care of everything. Like, shelter, done.
He would fashion everything, take care of all of them, all four of them. He would take care of. Would probably have to have a pencil and paper so he could write, even if he can't have his laptop. He would need something to write because that's who he is. And Emma, she's a little tougher because she has a lot of interests, but I don't have a good answer for Emma. What do you think she would bring?
I should bring her daughter. Although
Well, of course.
she probably wore with that because she's like, "I don't want my daughter to deal with this." I feel like maybe she'd take like a notebook. I feel like
Yeah, no.
she could
It's
use
always
some,
got
like,
ideas.
she could use something to write some shit down in. Like, she's either got ideas about whatever, this and that, and even if it's just some reflection in a journal. Other than
That's a good.
that, yeah, like either a journal or that's what came to mind. But if I had to think of something else for Emma, maybe it would be like, I think I could see her maybe like getting into a workout routine to keep herself busy. I feel like she's one of the kind of people who would like need to keep herself busy. And I'm thinking like, I'm just thinking like me, like, okay, I just have a set of instructions to follow. I feel like if she had a set of instructions to follow, or at least guide her, like a workout routine, maybe, or oh, you know what? I think she would steal Bryce's tools.
Yeah, I was thinking that. I would think She will steal paper from Andrew. She will steal the tools. They will figure out a raft to get him off of the island.
Yeah, she would be right up.
Emma and Bryce will be the brains behind figuring out how they get everybody off.
Even if Bryce wasn't there, I feel like she would be like, okay, let's see what we got here. She would be like, she would do well with a saw. Maybe with like a ruler, measuring tape, something like that. So yeah, there we go. Okay, so let's see. Okay, so Ranthan, what do you hope readers get out of the Rainy Day Bookshop?
I hope they take away a feeling of joy, that they feel better about the world after they're done reading the book. That's my hope every time people read my books. But I also, in this one, particularly hope they realize that what they've been through, what they're going through, does not have to define the rest of their life. They can still find happiness. They can still find joy. I've got four characters who all have struggled with grief and loss and difficult things that they've had to overcome. And they are able to find their happy ending. And I just hope my readers, the people who read this book, will go away with that same sort of feeling.
Okay. So Ranthan, are you working on anything that you could talk about?
I'm going through the final edits for my Christmas book, which will be, it's called Cozy Little Christmas. So it fits my brand very well. And it's a continuation of my Shelter Spring series. And I'm excited about that one. That'll be out in October. And then I'm starting a new series. I think that's my plan moving forward. We're figuring out what's coming next. And I think it's going to be starting a new series. So I'm excited about that.
I have confidence that you could do it. You could like tie everything together. You could tease us and lure us in and be like, oh, their love story's not finished. Sorry for you. Like,
we'll see.
I could see it for sure. Okay. So where can we find you online and on social media?
So you can, my website is rayannthane.com, and I'm on Facebook at author Rayann Thane, and I'm on Instagram at Rayann Thane. I'm on TikTok a little bit here and there. I post a few things once in a while. But yeah, that's mainly the main way to reach me is through my website. I also have a book group. If people are interested in hearing me talk to other authors once in a while, I will do that. So people can find me, my book group. I think it's Rayann Thane's book group.
Perfect. I love that. Yeah. I feel like it's like a niche. It's a little hidden pocket of what we can, if people want to explore Rayann Thane, that's where we can find you a little more intimately. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. So the Rainy Day Bookshop, that comes out on June 2nd. Ran, thank you so much for joining me again. And I love catching up. God, I feel like we could just make a quarterly chat.
That's good. Let's
right. Yeah, I know. Right. Your jacket's coming along. Like,
hey, a couple more.
So yeah, I recommend this to women's fiction lovers and people who are okay with scratching the itch of the romance, where it's maybe fade to black, but not really. It's like, you definitely tease us. And when and if you're ready to talk about your next work, come back to me.
I will. Thanks so much.
And there you go. That was Rayann Thane talking about her book, The Rainy Day Bookshop. That book is available now. Check out the show notes where you'll see links where you can find Rayann online and on social media and where you can purchase the book. In the show notes, you'll also see where to find Cantina Book Club on your favorite social media book communities, such as Bookstagram, BookTok, BookTube, Threads, Facebook, and more. And I would love and appreciate it if you could hit that follow or subscribe button so that you never miss out on book reviews and author interviews. If you have any book-loving friends who might want to get more out of their reading list, please share Cantina Book Club with them so that they can find upcoming releases and interviews with authors. Another way to help this podcast is to head over to your favorite podcast player and give Cantina Book Club a rating and review. It helps me reach more potential listeners and fellow book lovers like you. And that goes for any podcast that you listen to. It's one of the easiest ways to help out. If you need book recommendations, you can reach out to me anytime. I'm always excited to share recommendations. Or you can head over to the website at cantinabookclub.com to read more in-depth book reviews. You can use the search bar and you'll probably find something that you're looking for. While you're at it, you can subscribe by entering your email in the website so that you can get new reviews and episode posts delivered to your inbox while you're at it. If you want to support Cantina Book Club even more, you can donate by finding the form on the website as well. Whether it's a one-time donation or as little as $1 a month, I seriously appreciate the support and will share my appreciation by giving you a shout out in the show and sending you something special. And finally, one of the best ways to help authors promote their works, head over to Amazon or Goodreads or any other place that you might rate or look for book recommendations and make your own readings. Go find a title that you, a book that you love, that you just read, give them a reading or review. It's free. It helps them out to really reach potential readers. So it's really one of the best ways other than just going on social media. But as always, thanks for listening and see you next time. Cheers.